Welcome to the Amped Podcast. On this episode, we bring you another masterclass in collaboration with MTN. Get your caller tunes now. Enjoy.
My name is Guguletu Nyantsumba. My stage name persona is Sis GU. And I was born in Durban. I then moved to the UK for a little bit. And then I found myself back in Johannesburg. My schooling, education, career started here in Johannesburg. I went to primary school here, high school here. And then I went to UCT. My testimony and my whole story is that I didn't finish at UCT. I took a leave of absence at the beginning of 2020, so the beginning of COVID. And I decided to do so because I felt like I needed to do a lot of self-work. And I felt like school wasn't the perfect fit for me. I was okay at it, honestly, but I felt that there was more that I wanted to do for myself and share my story. So with a little background, 2020 hits, it's COVID. And I had an idea to start a YouTube channel. I'd been wanting to do so for a very long time. I wanted to do it with my friends, and my friends were just taking forever to get back to me. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take the leap of faith, and I'm gonna do it by myself. So that is where my YouTube channel was born, which is Uncomfortable Growth. I started it in COVID, and I did a 3-week challenge. I'm telling you guys this because I feel like this is where my career started truly. I did a 3-week challenge because the first initial lockdown was supposed to be for 3 weeks. And so I dropped a video every single day. And I think that through that momentum and consistency, I was then recognized, I got the subscribers, and then eventually my brand grew to the point where brands now wanted to work with me. And YouTube has been lovely. I absolutely love it. But my newfound passion is definitely podcasting. I feel like I've really found my feet and my purpose. And the reason I entered the podcast space was because of my community. They had told me that, you know what, yo, we'd love for you to start something like this. We'd be really interested to hear from you. I wasn't into podcasts at the time, honestly. So I did my research, listened to a few podcasts, understood what it was that I wanted to build, the kind of community I wanted to garner. And yeah, that's my baby. So I think the defining moment in my content creation journey was finding a gap in the market. So at the time, like 2019, 2020, early 2020, I found that a lot of the YouTube girlies were doing makeup, were doing fashion hauls. And I really feel like you can exceeded whatever it is that you are passionate about and want to do. But I knew that I was a conversationalist and I didn't really hear people talk about their mental challenges openly, about their struggles in their lives and just navigating their 20s. Hence the name Uncomfortable Growth. So from there, I used the platform to share my story, share my struggles and everything that it was that I was able to learn. And I think from there became the, well, started the birth of my podcast, which is called After School's After School with Sis GU. And I think the play on the name of my podcast comes from the fact that, like, firstly, after school was my favorite time of the school day. And secondly, I wanted to create an environment that felt more unfiltered than my YouTube channel. I think my YouTube really speaks to like a younger version of Gugu, and I'm really grateful for it. But after school really speaks to who I am now and speaks more in depth to the challenges and the things that I have faced throughout the years. So I know that my podcast did well because of my pre-existing community. I know that as a creator who's starting, you know, the question is often like how to garner a community, how to get your work out there and all of that. And my biggest thing, and I've said it from back then to now, it's consistency. I know it's very hard to keep putting out content when you feel like it's not making the reach, where people aren't finding it, but I promise you, you'd rather be putting out things so that when there are people who find you, that there's a plethora of work that is behind your name. So that when people do discover you as a creative, it's not just about only having a few videos to kind of like, you know, gain some sort of understanding as to who you are, but having a lot of work behind your name that when you do stand out to brands, when people do find you, there's a very clear indication of what kind of creative you are, what work you're doing, and what the objective is with your platforms. So I also want to speak to the importance of personalizing your brands. You know, we see creators and we draw inspiration, and that's a great thing, but I think there's a very big difference between drawing inspiration and trying to mimic someone. And I really want to steer us away from mimicking people, because you can't do someone else better than what they do themselves. And honestly, I feel like you're setting yourself up for failure if that's the way you go about it. So you can draw inspiration, know what it is you like, know what you like about their work ethic, about their content, and draw those things, but then also add the touch of who you are and what it is that you want to do as a creative. I found the gap in the market very daunting, speaking about your emotions and the fact that I struggle with anxiety and depression. Honestly, not something that's cool either to really talk about, but I knew that I found a lot of strength in sharing my story And through that, I felt like I grew a community of people that needed to hear that and who understood that, you know what, guys, when we go through things, we're really not alone. There are other people who see the things I see or see them the way that I see them and feel the things that I do. So I was able to build my brand that was truly authentic to me. And I've been able to do so with making my brand about everything SisGU. So whatever it is that I'm going through on the day is what you guys will see. So I do not put any pressure on myself to be perfect, to be super dolled up all the time, or whatever it is. I show up as my most authentic version on that day, which is my brand, you know, hence the name Uncomfortable Growth. And I think that's also something that's really important. I feel like with content creation, you constantly have to be on, and there isn't a moment where you can maybe take a step back and acknowledge the fact that you aren't maybe feeling okay, that you are overwhelmed or whatever it is. So I think just allowing my audience to do that walk with me and understand that my mental health still affects me to this day, and that there are good days and my good days will look good, and that there are bad days where, you know, that may not be the case, or where it doesn't show as much, or my energy isn't as up. I think, again, building a community that is expectant of me showing up as who I am was important. If you guys are familiar with my podcast, After School with SisGU, all of our graphics speak to that, which I think, again, has a lot to do with personalizing your brand. Everything needs to be concise. Everything needs to flow. And I think we've really been able to do that through the graphics, through the theme song. Sometimes you'll hear a school bell in the beginning of my episodes and stuff like that. So I feel like when you build a holistic picture of your brand, again, it makes it easier for brands to identify who you are, but to also know how it is that they want to go about working with you in that space. Cool. So an authentic brand. Guys, I want to also say that with podcasting, it is about what it is that you have to share, but you must never forget that you're a creative. So sitting behind a microphone, sharing some words is all great, but I think people want to see your creativity through that. How do you share the message? How do you package your work? What do your graphics look like? What is the overall theme of what it is that you're creating? And again, through that, I think it's so much easier to differentiate yourself maybe from someone who is just purely just speaking, and there's no flow in everything that they're doing. As much as I speak about whatever it is that I'm going through at the time, I've really found to look into my analytics quite a bit. Spotify has Spotify for Podcasters, which is one of the platforms that I upload on. And on the platform, you will get a breakdown of absolutely everything: who your demographic is, the age, where your listeners are, what the peak time listen thing is. You know, like people are listening for 7 minutes and then after that they drop off. That has helped me greatly to indicate how long my episodes need to be, because I really want to make sure that I'm hitting the mark each and every time. I also then know who I'm speaking to, which I think allows for me to cater my message and my content to my demographic and my crowd that much more. And I also used my existing social media platform. So I know podcasting, for the most part, you're thinking Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and then there'll be the YouTube aspect of it if you're wanting to do visuals. But I really want to speak to the fact that in being able to grow my brand, I had to leverage all of my social media platforms. And do not be scared to advertise your work. Everywhere you are, on every platform that there is, you have a community already that knows of you. The best place to start putting your best foot forward or putting your work out there is to the people that have been following you for a while. So right now, what we do with my podcast is that obviously it's a long form, and we will then put a snippet up on Instagram. We'll do the same on TikTok. We'll tweet the link. I will go on Snapchat chat and tell people I have a new episode out, whatever it is. I really do try my best to leverage all of the platforms that I have in order to be able to grow the brand. We've also opened a separate Instagram account, which is called GN Corporations, which is purely to do with my content. So on Instagram, it's my personal page, obviously with a bit of work here and there. But I think allowing myself to have a separate platform where it is purely work allows for me to not be doubtful about posting a lot of work. I know that as a creator, when we're looking at your Instagram pages or when brands are, it's very hard because you want them to get to know who you are, but you also want to show your work, and it's hard to kind of strike that balance. I really have found that it's alleviated a lot of pressure for me in having a separate page to be able to post every single snippet, every single episode, so that if there is a fan base of yours that wants to know where to catch you, what you're doing, they can immediately go to that. And again, like I said earlier, I do talk about things that are pressing in my life. But again, through platforms such as YouTube, the comments, Spotify for Podcasters, Apple Podcasts, and all of that, it's really important to also look at the feedback that you're getting for your community. We are creatives, and yes, we do it for ourselves, but when you start to have a community, you also understand that you're doing it for them. And making your community feel seen and heard is something that is equally as important, to know that you're listening to them and therefore you're better able to create your content. But in the same breath, I know that sometimes people really take to the analytics and apply it hardcore, which is like not a bad thing, but also as the creative who has created the platform, you also know what's best for your community. And sometimes the numbers may not show, but if you're wanting to introduce a new segment or something that you believe is really cool, you should really take the leap. The people that will rock with it will rock with it, and if it isn't something that's immediate, again, the work is out there to show your diversity as a content creator, which is really, really important. Now, I'm all about mental health, and I've said it in the past that like recording is a bit tough for me because it used to be based on whether I felt like it or not. And when you become a brand and when you are deciding to be a full-time content creator, I don't think you kind of have that as an option anymore. So I believe in the planning of my content. I believe in having structure, and I do that through recording days. So I will have a production day once a month. I will call my videographer, I will bring my sound engineer, I'll invite my guests, have a call sheet, and we will record throughout that day. And therefore, I'll know that after that day, I'm sitting with 5 episodes, so I'm good for the next like 2 months or month and a half a bit. It's a matter of it going into production, having enough time to also review my work, make the edits that we want to make, and then putting it out there. Also, in the name of consistency, I am subbing myself because I really was once a consistent queen. And I'm no longer that, but that's something I'm really working on this year. I think it's really important for your community to be able to depend on you and to be able to trust you. And I think I'm saying this now on the other side of having broken that trust with some of my subscribers, because there's a beauty in knowing that this content creator will drop something every single Thursday. I can look forward to it. I know it. I'm waiting on their page. I'm refreshing. I'm waiting for that work to be out there. And I think when you start to lose that, your audience also starts to be confused. It's now a matter of people finding your work by chance, because like, oh, you decided to drop today, or oh, I was just scrolling and it popped up, instead of understanding that like, as a creator, this is what I have committed to, and this is what my audience can be expecting of me. I have also taken to trends, which is also very interesting considering that my content is very personal. But I don't think there's anything wrong with looking to our other creatives, seeing what's trending on TikTok. I love TikTok. I feel like it's the best place to just consume short form content, and very quickly. You don't like it, you scroll, it's gone. You like it, it's there, you comment, and if you engage with it, you'll see more stuff of that nature. So I've also kind of learned to just see what my peers are doing, see what my listeners are listening to outside of my podcast. So outside of my YouTube channel, who are you guys watching? Who do you guys relate to? What are they doing? What are the current trends? Do you guys like music in the podcast, or do you like it when, you know, it's just silence and they're speaking? Are you taking to visuals as much, or are you not? Which has actually been a current struggle of ours. We introduced visuals at the beginning of last year. So before it was just purely audio, and I really enjoyed that time. But we did a live podcasting show, and after that, we just found that going back to purely only doing audio wouldn't make any sense at all. So we thought, you know, it's now time to implement visuals with every episode that I put out there. And it's been very rewarding in that it does give you a new audience of people who like to maybe watch visuals and consume your podcast visually. However, I have found it challenging trying to navigate the numbers, because I almost feel like you're taking your work from one platform and putting it onto another, and maybe it might affect the numbers on this pre-existing platform now because the numbers are split. And that is something I'm honestly struggling with, but we're working on it. We are working on it. But I also want to bring that up because I think that when you are putting your content across different platforms, and maybe on a platform where people aren't used to consuming you on, there may be a lag. And even though there is a lag, it doesn't then mean that you shouldn't be doing that. Again, guys, I feel like when you build a good foundation, it is the best foot to put yourself on. It's the best place to start, so that when people do find you on that pre-existing app or that other app that you're on, there is a plethora of work that is behind you. When I started my content creation journey, I was by myself. I lived in Cape Town, so we shot with friends, and that was it. Edited for myself for a bit, and then I found a videographer, which was very helpful. And I know sometimes people have the question of, is management really important? Is it something that people need? Do you need a team? And the answer is no, you don't need these things. I do think that as a creator, you're able to, I mean, it's a lot of work, don't get me wrong, but I do think that if you aren't in the position of being signed or employing people, it's fully okay to do it by yourself. Find something that works for you. Don't put yourself under pressure. Having a day again where you record and knowing like, cool, this is recorded, now it's a matter of editing. After editing the long form, I go to short form and so forth. But I also will say that having management has changed my life. Like, Honestly, I am not someone who likes to deal with talking to people, saying no to brands, negotiating my price. And I feel like through having a manager, it's really allowed for me to purely focus on the content that I create and having my manager do everything else, which is what I really want for each and every content creator out there. I think it makes your job so much easier just knowing that your sole focus is creation, not having to push it as much, not having to do the nitty-gritties and the talking. So if you do have the opportunity to have management, I would say take it. But also with management, I think it's very important to understand who your manager is and what they stand for, and also to get into an extensive conversation about the agreement. Talk about the percentage upright. Do they want a retainer? Do they not? Do they want a cut of the money that you make through other deals, or do they not? Are there someone who's understanding of your entire ethos as a person? I've also found that sometimes you can work with someone who's very business-minded and very good at that, but if they don't understand who you are, what you're trying to build, and what you stand for, you might clash at some point. So I think there are a lot of things that go into finding a manager, but when you do find a perfect fit, I think it's something that really is beautiful. And again, I would also say that having a team has also alleviated a lot of pressure from me. I don't want to take people for granted. I don't want to exploit people. So I wanted to only explore that option when I felt like I could financially pay the people in my team what it is that they deserve and so forth. So again, it's not anything to rush, but I do know that there's a lot of perks with having a team. Knowing that, again, you're just a content creation, someone is doing the editing for you, allows for your content to maybe come out a lot quicker. Someone is like a content creator writer who comes up with your content, who gives you ideas so that you're not brainstorming by yourself, and then you have that. A videographer to make sure that your content is always good and crisp. A sound engineer, my sound engineer is actually in the room over there, that's Don Vino. And I found that he's helped me greatly with creating the theme and the feel of my podcast. Because it's after schools with SisGU, and I do want for it to feel a bit intimate. You know, we do have some music, we do have some things that chime in here and there, and he's been a very big part of being able to create that for me. And I don't think that there are certain things that exist on my podcast now that I would not have been able to do or come up with without him. So again, a team really feeds into me creatively, and again gives me the feedback that I need. Going back to the personalization of your content, I want to speak to the titling of my episodes. When I first started my podcast, I was just like, well, I don't know, like, this is a little chit-chat. I don't know what else to call it. I didn't really give much thought into it. And Calvin actually had the great idea of naming the title of the episodes as a track playlist. So each name is kind of catchy. When we have guests, it's featuring this guest. I think it gives it that little touch. It also makes it appealing when people are on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and looking for something to look at, that there's something that's catchy about your name. There's maybe a little play on words. We released an episode the other day that's literally about period positivity, and we titled it That's on Period. Because, like, that's on period, you know? If you get it, you get it. So it's small things like that I think really help your content to shine. But more than anything, I think it's the authenticity of the creator. It is you finding your star power, you finding the gap in the market, you finding what it is that you're good at and really pushing that and really becoming good at it. And you may not be where you want to be in the beginning of it, but as you go, your platform will grow, you'll become more confident, and it gets a lot easier. Something we'll also ask quite a bit is about sponsorship and monetization. My sponsorship or monetization came through being monetized on YouTube, which I think happens after you have a certain number of watch hours, have a minimum of 1,000 subscribers, and so forth. And that was cool, that was nice, but I was just like, I don't really see how I'm going to be able to make a living out of this. I'm definitely going to need to make more money from what it is that I'm doing. And I then found that because of my YouTube videos, I'd link my Instagram all the time. Brands who were finding me on YouTube were wanting to work with me on different platforms. And I think sometimes we don't think like that, because you're like, okay, it's a YouTube video. If a brand approaches me, it has to be on this platform. But it's the fact that you're putting yourself out there. Always include your tags. Always include where it is someone can find you. An email address is super helpful sometimes. I've heard brand managers speak to the fact that they want to work with people, but getting a hold of us is so hard because there's no email address. You're going to DM. Your DMs are busy. You know, you might miss it. So I honestly started making money off of Instagram. So I found brands noticed me on YouTube, and then they wanted to do work on Instagram. And I was like, okay, this is cool. I'm going to try that. My podcast is 3 years old. So for the first 2 years, we didn't make any money off of it either. And it was a completely different market to me. I had no idea how to navigate it. I didn't know about distribution. I didn't know about DSPs, nothing. So we started by doing some research. And then at some point I felt like, okay, the content, the quality of the content content is good. Sound is a very big thing to me. If you're wanting people to listen to you, you at least have to try your very best to make sure that the quality of the sound is good. I don't think it's fair for people to sit through an hour long podcast episode and, you know, not have the sound be the best. And even when I'm saying so, I'm not speaking to purely just the equipment. I'm saying just making sure that you are in a room with closed windows, closed doors, speaking as closely to the mic as possible. Not too close, but, you know, close enough for people to be able to hear you. And yeah, so then we did the podcast. It started to do really well. And only 3 years later do I feel like we're truly being acknowledged by brands and wanting them to use the platform. I think that also has a lot to do with the fact that podcasting is fairly new in South Africa and that it's not as big as what it is in other places. So we are kind of like the pioneers in trying this thing out and waiting for other people to jump on and to acknowledge what it is that we're doing. And I think with your podcast, what we do is that we view it as a radio station. So, you know, when you go to a radio station, you like submit a song, and then when you submit a song, people pay for that song to be played. You can do stuff like that. When we have ads, we have quotes for like 0 to 30 seconds. This is how much it is. 30 seconds to a minute, this is how it is. If you want to insert something that you've recorded, again, this is how much you would have to pay for that. There are things such as purely sponsored episodes, exclusivity. So if you're the only brand that I'm talking about, this then means that there's an exclusive clause in this, and I want to be compensated for that. If this episode is being brought to you by these people, you get to also charge for that. I know that when it comes to charging, we're very shy as creators. And I know that's because we experience a lot of backlash from brands. But I really want to encourage you to price your work at what you think the value is, because you are the person creating it and you know how much work and time has gone into it. When I had to first go about pricing, I actually gauged with my peers. I was just like, okay, cool. How much are you charging for this? How much are you charging for that? And yes, your prices may not be the same, but I think it gives you a really good standpoint or viewpoint of where to start and where you can further take your things. Again, with podcasting and sponsorships, we are independent, but you don't have to go that route. So there are distributors. There are facilities such as Amp Studios, where they give you these rooms to come and record in. The property is yours. I know when we speak distributors, people get very worried about their intellectual property no longer belonging to them, but it is yours. You just come into the space, you create, and the network will then have the connections that you want brand-wise and be able to send it out to those people for you. And I think that's a really cool option if you are somewhat independent, because they have these existing networks and connections already. So it's just a matter of putting your work forward to the clients that they already have. And I think that's like a foot in the door, because you're not starting from scratch. As an independent podcaster, you have the distribution route. And if you are choosing to be independent, you use your DSPs. And those are digital streaming platforms such as Spotify, Podcasts, Deezer, Apple Music, everything. We were not on all DSPs at the beginning. We kind of just started with Spotify and Apple Music, and then as we've been growing, we've realized that there are more platforms that we want to put our work on. So even if you do only start with one platform, that's okay. There'll be a time where you start to add your work on other platforms as time goes by. Again, if you're wanting to monetize, I think being aware of your stats and your analytics is very important. This is your buying power with brands. It's very important to show a brand what it is that you can do with their brand and show what it is your reach is and what your audience's reach is. So if you are aware of your stats, you're able to put that in a proposal, show that this is your reach, these are my watch minutes, these are my subscribers, and then you're able to build a proposal that is according to that. But all in all, I think the podcast space is still very new. So I haven't even yet explored all of the ways that I can make money off of it, and I think it's going to come as I keep going, and as you guys keep going, it'll do the same. But with podcasts, I really have seen that, like, TikTok, honestly, is the place to grab people's attention. With a short form video, your best 10 seconds, 15 seconds, even a minute, if you post that up there and it gains traction, people are then bound to obviously want to watch the long form version of your episodes. Podcast trends and the future outlooks. I do feel like people are going in the direction of visuals. I do think that people do enjoy consuming content like that. It can be a little bit taxing just listening to a sound the whole day. It might be easier to visually see something. So that's the one thing I've picked up on, that if you can start with visuals, do so. And also, guys, starting a podcast, start with what you have. Start with your phone, start with your microphone, and edit that on your laptop or whatever you can, and you know, you'll take it forward. If you want to then, you know, advance a bit, you can get a microphone, you can then use an interface, you can then get a good camera. But I think when the creative is truly creative in themselves, people always take to that. Like, as much as the packaging is really important, if what you're saying is not resonating, is not hitting, is not making sense, I don't think that people are going to take to you. So as much as, again, like, the overall picture is important, who you are as a creative, what it is you're putting out, what it is that you're saying, and your message is truly the most important thing about you, and I think your buying power. And yeah, I think my last thing I want to say is be intentional. Don't put work out for the sake of putting it out. Think about the things that you're putting out and be sure and confident in what it is that you're putting out. We know how the internet is. It stays on. It lives on forever, even when you do delete things. And it's okay to make mistakes. You may try something that doesn't work, but just be aware of what you're putting out. Make sure it's super intentional. Make sure it's aligning with your brand, aligning with the past work that you've been doing. And even if it isn't, if it's different, just make sure that it's something that you can stand behind and be proud of.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Amped Studios podcast in collaboration with MTN Play. Subscribe to this podcast now. For more information about Amped Studios, go to ampedstudios.co.za. That's ampedstudios.co.za. And don't forget to get your caller tunes now.